In our first lecture, we looked at the Apostle Paul and his encounter with the Greeks in Athens. We noted how he identified a starting point from which to build a bridge to Jesus and the gospel. We watched as he affirmed what could be affirmed in Athenian culture. We watched as he outflanked their thinking and then confronted their rank idolatry. He brought his listeners with wisdom and insight and creativity to our ultimate question: what do you make of Jesus Christ? Paul's example is instructive for us as we build a model for cultural apologetics. Like Paul, we would be wise to understand our Athens, identify starting points from which to build a bridge to the culture, to Jesus and the gospel, and to respond to barriers or obstacles to belief along the way. So let's begin by considering our Athens. Since I live and minister in the West, we'll consider our culture from that vantage point, but you can apply the model I'm going to unpack for any culture that you find yourself in. West, Middle East, Far East, Africa, Norwegian, it doesn't matter. Recall from Lecture 1, New Begins question: what would be involved in a missionary encounter between the gospel and this whole way of perceiving, thinking, and living that we call modern Western culture? In understanding our Athens, let's see if we can answer the culture's way of perceiving, thinking, and living. So let's begin with perceiving. What is our culture's way of perceiving? In a word, and I'm just going to give you one word for now, it's the word disenchanted. Disenchanted. Our world is no longer seen in its proper light. Instead of seeing the world as sacred and beautiful, it's often viewed as mundane or ordinary or familiar. As a culture, we are literally under a spell, taking for granted life and beauty and goodness and the holy instead of seeing them as gift from its creator. Now, in addition to considering the culture's dominant way of perceiving, we also need to ask, what is our culture's whole way of thinking? Again, in a word, sensate. Sensate. We are fixed on the physical, the sensory, or the material. As C.S. Lewis says, through the words of the senior devil, Screwtape, dispensing his devilish advice to the junior devil, Wormwood, in that great little book, The Screwtape Letters, he says that our lives are focused on the stream of experience, with little attention to universal matters. So that's sensate. Finally, what is our whole culture's way of living? Again, in a word, hedonistic. Hedonistic. We move from one episode of pleasure to another, filling ourselves with bite-sized packets of pleasure that give an immediate sensual payoff, but end up enslaving us. So we're captivated, to again borrow from C.S. Lewis and the imagery in The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, we're captured by Turkish delights. Okay, so given this reality, and we're going to unpack a little bit of our Athens, but given this reality of this postmodern Athens that we find ourselves in, we can discern at least three universal longings which can, following Paul, serve as starting points for building bridges to the gospel. Now, the philosopher Peter Kraft speaks of three longings of the human soul, that we long for truth and goodness and beauty. And then he speaks of three prophets or guides or capacities of the human soul that help us along the way: reason, the conscience, and the imagination. And Kraft says that each of these prophets can be employed to point to Jesus, who of course is the source of truth and goodness and beauty.